All right. Aaron will have more chances to practice saying the word 70.
70 degrees. I got it. Thank you.
How about on Saturday?
On Saturday it will be 76.
Yeah, I mean, 77. Whoa.
You know.
Wow. Wow. Look, and you practicing your 70s. All right, Tom, get in here.
77 on Sunday. Say it after me.
What are you? Will you come in here, start barking orders around?
Woo! Just trying to fit
creek.
In.
Yeah, I know. You're doing fine. Mini creek, the little creek out that runs into the Yakima, warming up nicely. I must say, I spent a great deal of time in it this afternoon and feel quite refreshed. Quite refreshed. Lots of news. Thank you, Aaron, for getting us get started here. King County Executive Dal Constantine, being the political animal he is demanding that the sheriff retire, quote-unquote, retire. it seems like, has Mitzi said something? I think she said no, not going to retire. But Dal Constantine realizes there's a lot of baggage on the elected official, and he would best be able to come out ahead of this and say, listen, why don't you retire? That would be best. This covers him so that he doesn't get have this come back on him later on when he runs for governor.
Okay, well, first off, I know you're giving it a political spin, and no doubt he is a politician, so there's a political spin, but I think the essence of what he's saying is, hurry up already. We, the voters, just decided that we are not going to elect our sheriff anymore. It's going to be an appointed position, appointed by the King County Executive. She only has 9 more months left. Several city council members, or county council members, I forget now, have called on her to resign because of her kind of supportive dismissal of the settlement that the county made in the Tommy Lay shooting, and that outraged a number of people. So he's saying, you know, let's just move on. Let's just, you know, so the wheels of government can sort of get moving a little earlier. Why don't you retire now? That's sort of where it is. Now, I don't know that he necessarily is benefiting from that. I think he thinks that if she steps down, that'll ease his transition into appointing her replacement, rather than, you know, that it's somehow going to look good for him in the fall. Already, he, I think, is, re-election as
I think she won with about 56% of the voters voted for her. And they voted for her in order to be the sheriff. And the appointment lasts till 2022. Yeah. So the thing is that she's going to figure out, she's going to hold and continue and serve out the rest of her term, because the voters voted her in. And then the voters this year or a couple of months ago, whatever it was, said, you know what, we want to be able to have the thing appointed. So she has said, your sheriff has said, I'm going to continue to serve for the final 9 months of the time. So good for her. Go ahead, Sheriff. Continue to stay in there. And this is Dal's way of just simply trying to get out ahead of the thing. I want to see it. The people that actually endorsed her, Seattle Times and Jayapal and the Victory Fund. And how about King County Executive Ron Sims, a former King County Executive? Will they also say something to her and ask her to leave?
Well, they might, because she's had a rocky tenure. We'll just put it that way. I don't know if we want to get into the deal. I mean, right now, I think I heard Dory Monson was railing on her a couple of weeks ago about something or other. I mean, so she's getting hit from a number of sides. There's been, as the Seattle Times said, a couple of recent outside reports talking about, you know, the troubles that are happening with the administration, which may or may not be fair, but it's like, she's not riding a wave of popularity right now, but he doesn't have any control over it. It's just an urge. And you said demand. I think it's more, you know, the headline is he urges her to retire. But I think that she's probably just going to fill out the last 9 months of her tenure. And then we'll move on after that.
There you go. All right. News out of Minnesota. So 20-year-old Mr. Wright, resisting arrest, trying to get back into his car to take off, gets shot and killed accidentally, as the officer that fired the shot is saying, I didn't mean to. I was trying to tase him instead. And then that caused a whole bunch of problems. So last night, the protests were going on. I love the fact that Foot Locker, back in June of last year, said for social justice and racial equality, we're going to give you, we're going to donate $200 million over the next 5 years. Basically saying, hey, next time you're out looting and peacefully protesting, please don't rob us. That was one of the main stores that was hit last night. So the protests out there last night, and I'm sorry, peaceful protests that were occurring. And it seems like the big thing now is to shoot off fireworks, Tom. Did you see that? That seems that you go in there, set things on fire, but fireworks seem to be the main way to peacefully protest.
Well,
CNN was out there, and I thought, what's that?
It's 2 days in a row we've had stories completely independent of each other. One was the street racing in University District when the car was flipped, perhaps intentionally. Fireworks went off, so that may be it's a striking image in the dark.
It certainly is. CNN last night, I thought this was the best thing that I had seen all day on the web. This guy, and I assume poor Jacob, had to cut all of the curse words out. It's interesting. It is interesting that people know they're on television and don't care about cursing. And it also seems like, I guess because it's cable, they don't even do like, sir, we're going to ask you to refrain from that language. They don't even do that anymore. The guy's just unloading. But I think this is perfect. So this woman is out there for CNN, and she's covering. She's right in the midst of it because people want to see all of it. And this guy comes right up.
You look there. Now you can see. Now you can see.
You can see. Y'all be twisting up the story.
You want to talk to me? Do you want to talk to me? Okay, cool. Don't take my mic, but we're cool. Okay. What's your name?
What's my name? My name is my name.
All right, so tell me what you think about what's going on.
What I think about this is all the press and all the extra shit y'all do makes this worse.
You think so?
Amen. Absolutely. If you are sitting at home and you're within a mile of that and you see that, you're going down there.
Yes. When people want to protest, they shouldn't do it in front of a police courthouse. Like that. You get what I'm saying?
I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. I really
of what?
Do. Of anything that can
of
hit
what?
You. Of anything that can hit you. Look at all the stuff.
What?
Of this.
Of what?
Of this.
Do it look like I'm scared?
No, you don't.
Do it look
don't.
Like I'm scared?
You don't. You don't.
Exactly. Y'all need to get up out of here with all that twisting up the media.
Okay.
Real
you don't know me, but we
don't know
you. We're going to get to know each other. That's
you
what we're
going to
do.
Each other,
yes,
huh?
We are.
Let's
we
see.
Are. We are.
How you going to know me?
I'm going to. We're going to talk. I'm going to share
yeah,
our number with you. All right, let's do it.
No, let's do it right
let's
here.
Let's do it. All right, here's my phone. Let's
no,
go ahead and share
camera.
Me number.
Talk about something that's real.
Tell me what's
y'all
real.
Just gonna-
there you go. Why don't you interview the guy? Why don't you just find out why he said
edit out the shot.
We're
I think
live.
She was trying
we're
to.
Listen,
edit out some
listen,
other
we're live right
you're
now.
Not live.
I'm live right now.
I don't care if you live or not.
Okay,
get away from here with all that media that y'all doing.
Right now.
There you go. No, she's on lookout. Be careful. No, he's like, look, you're part of the problem, twisting it up or at least putting it on television. It's always the case. If you cover it, people are going to go to it. More people are going to show up. More people want to throw stuff and yell and scream, right?
Wow. So you're,
do you agree, Tom, that it's the bright lights of the moth drawn to the flames? Oh, no? No.
Well, no. I don't think that they wouldn't, those riots wouldn't be happening if the cameras weren't there. I don't believe that. I don't think you believe that, but I think it's odd that you are calling for suppression of the news coverage, because usually it's the right, the conservatives, who love showing all the violence and the looting and everything at these protests to somehow discredit the position that they might be protesting about. So I'm surprised that that's your reaction, and I'm not clear what that guy's point was.
I'm not the right. I'm an individual with a point of view.
That's right.
So I won't be swept up in the right. No, I'm an individual with a point of view. And my point of view is this, that when you spend a bright light towards something, people look at it. And when you go down there and you cover this sort of stuff, people will go to it. That's true. That's true. That's why people slow down to look at a car accident, because the lights are flashing, or people are going to look at fire. That's true. Now, the fact that this stuff's happening and people are down there, quote unquote, peacefully protesting, this is just the stuff that CNN runs all the time and MSNBC, and they all run it all the time. And they try to say, oh, no, this is all about the, you know, racial injustice or some other thing. People, most of the people down there, actually, probably about 30% looky-loos. Then you have people down there looking to steal shoes or something else. So they're going to go down into the dollar store or Walmart or a Foot Locker and rip off a bunch of things. You might actually have some legitimate people that feel like, hey, let's go and try to protest and make our voices heard. I don't know what percentage of those people are. But then that's you just have a lot of the people just down there creating, you know, mayhem just in general. So for an entire summer, we had the media lying or trying to lie to us and calling it mostly peaceful protest as they stood in front of burning buildings. So, you know, this is just what they do. That's all, Tom.
I know, but the point is, John, I mean, Fox covers it, too. I mean, it's cable news because it's 24 hours, so they cover it. And yes, a fire, fires are not that big a deal. Even when a house burns down, it's not that big a deal, but it's always on the news. Why? Because it's visually spectacular. I understand that part. I thought you were suggesting, or the guy was suggesting, that if the cameras weren't there, the protests wouldn't be happening. And the Watts riots happened, you know, 50, whatever that was, 60, 70 years ago now, when I was growing up. And that was before cable coverage and all that. These things still happen. Now, will there be more people there? I think his criticism was more that it's somehow a distortion, that we spend more time covering the protests and the looting, perhaps, than the cause of the protests and the lootings, just because it's an active visual picture. And I think that's a legitimate critique. Yeah. And I don't know how we, as news creators and or news consumers, can control that without it feeling like it's, you know, an abridgment of speech. But would you be okay with not? Because I can imagine a world in which we only deal with the issues at hand and don't deal with the protests. But I think the protests, are something that's happening. If you're covering news, you have to kind of cover it. And if you're covering the protests, you have to cover the, when it gets out of hand, you have to cover everything. And that's sort of what was happening, I think, last night.
I would argue with not protests. They're just plain out rioting. I mean, they're throwing stuff at police, setting things on fire, and stealing stuff, right? I mean, that's what we had seen all summer.
That's not...
And then the guys, then the knuckleheads that run into the Capitol, that's insurgents, and those are the people that are destroying democracy, and those are the people that are trying to undermine this great country and the fabric of this country. But we watched for 10 months as people killed people, hit people, stole stuff, and set things on fire, and those were peaceful protests because of systemic racism. This is MSNBC experience.
Most of the people that were protesting were not burning down things. We prosecuted the guy who lit the police cars on fire, and he just got 4 years or something. I mean, there are criminal activities that happen in the midst of protests or riots or whatever else you want to call it. And the thing is, as a news organization, you probably need to cover the whole spectrum, including the cause,
Anywhere between 5,000 and 15,000 people were down there on January 6th. 800 people went into the Capitol, and those things are being called riots. But here we go. This is MSNBC. All right.
Are you going to stay out here all night, or what's the plan?
I'm going to do what needs to be done.
What's that? What do you just
be here for my people.
Get the police down from our community.
Oh, poor Jacob again. More cursing. Sorry,
how long that takes?
Do any of you know Dante and the family very well?
No, I don't.
Does anybody?
Get the out. Okay. All right.
Rachel, you heard all that. Some of it rational and obviously some of it very angry and passionate. But the bottom line here is that these people are still out here in the street. They're not going anywhere. And the police have stopped firing tear gas. They are still behind that fence perimeter that's been built up. Easy.
Police!
What do you want to see happen?
What do I want to say?
What do you want to see happen?
I want to see... All right.
No, I got it.
I want these... Stop killing innocent black people.
We're just going to cut in because we have a responsibility in terms of the language, and I'm sorry to have to cut in on you there, Ron, but there's certain things that we can broadcast and there's certain things that we can't. Bobby...
Go over to there CNN. You go. Listen to
Rachel show. Maddow.
Obviously, this is live footage, and we do apologize for the language that you just heard there, but what Ron is... testifying to there while he's doing live reporting and trying to watch his own back and out there in the middle of it and trying to get people to speak in ways that get the message out that they want out is the rawness and the anger.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay. You're doing a good job, Rachel Maddow, and all those cable organizations, Fox, everything, same thing, getting the rawness and the anger out. Yeah. By the way, the kid's mom, as terrible as it is, accidentally getting shot and killed by the police officer. And the mother says that what happened was is that they stopped him for an air freshener And then he got out of the car. When he went to get back in his car, that's when they shot him. It's like, no. And the news should not report that, that they were arresting him. He resisted arrest, got into his car to flee, as he had done before. And the woman pulls out, the female police officer pulls out her service revolver instead of a taser and shoots him and kills
him. Right. I know, but
the news needs to say, the news needs to, when the mom says that, the news should then come in and say, well, actually he was, or add to it, because if the mother puts that out there, and then the audience just goes, oh, okay, so he got out of the car, went to get back in the car, and they shot and killed him. Well, no wonder people would get upset, right?
Well,
so
there's
the news should come in and say,
John,
resisting arrest. Because, Tom,
you don't
add
shoot somebody
in resisting arrest. Put the facts in place so that people can then judge upon what the facts are on the case, right?
And do you put in the facts that, well, as you pointed out initially, and then ever since we've done this story, we're hearing more and more about how ridiculous it would be to mistake your gun for a taser and vice versa, that you mentioned how much lighter they were, but they're a different color. One's yellow. I mean, it's designed. I saw Carmen Best on cable shows last night talking about they're designed so that you can never make that mistake. And so she was at a loss. It says it makes no sense to me that you wouldn't know. And then we had a number of people writing in saying there were cops that they knew. He says, you can tell when you shoot somebody, you're holding the gun. You can tell I'm holding this big black thing in my hands. Yeah. But there are more and more questions about how could this have happened. The one interesting detail now about this, the officer that did that, this was a training operation. And it occurred to me, they may not have been doing training, but the Derek Chauvin, wasn't he like, he had two rookies with him. I'm wondering if part of the problem might be, and the Chauvin thing is a completely different, I think, because it lasted a long time, but I'm wondering if the training is the problem. The reason they pulled him over was for expired tags, I think. So if you end up killing somebody for expired tabs, that's not a good thing. And I'm wondering if maybe they were doing this just as a way to demonstrate, okay, here's how you get a guy, here's how you put on the handcuffs, and that might have been a distraction or something for her that she was training and not, you know, fully present, and that's why she could have made the mistake. But that's such a deadly mistake. It's a mistake that the more and more I hear about it says from cops, that's a mistake that never should have happened, that there is something wrong with what's going on there. And I don't know if it's, malfeasance or what.
So I looked up that community, that town. It has not a lot of violent crime. It had one murder in 2019. It was a drug deal gone bad. But overall, it's got some violence, car theft and assault, but not as much crime as you'd expect. This woman has been she was on the service for 26 years.
26.
You can have cops that serve for 36 years and never pull out their gun. Never.
Yes.
Never fire it. Never shoot anybody. Nothing. Right? But the majority of men and women that serve in law enforcement never take out their gun and discharge it in, self-defense. They just don't. And listen, panic, the guy starts to get away, he's going to get in the car, she takes out, who knows, Tom, but a lot of stuff gets absolutely shut down when all of a sudden you're in this fight or flight move, and she pulls this thing out and kills this guy, as tragic as it is for that kid and the grandson and everybody else in the community. And now we're going to have 2 or 3 days of people going around stealing stuff. So
the
MO.
The focus has to be on how to prevent these kinds of things from happening. And that, I've never heard that somebody kills somebody for tasing. I mean, that's it. Mistake. And
here's one way to stop it. Here's one way to stop it. When you're under arrest, don't fight it. When they put the handcuffs on you, don't fight it.
But sure. And if you could control that, that would also be great. But a death sentence should not be the result of somebody trying to get away from tabs.
Sure.
You can track down the guy. You know his lights. He was literally on the phone with his mom. I mean, it's just so weird that this happened, and it's tragic. Yep. And I think, she's going to have to explain herself, because right now she has resigned, and I think rightfully so. But I'd like to hear how she could possibly explain the difference based on what Carmen Best said last night on national news about how There's no way you should be able to confuse those.
Tracy Till, look at traffic for us. Sorry, Tracy, we're late getting to it. Ask smart speaker. It does so much for you. I was reading an article the other day, Tom, that you're not supposed to, if you forget something, don't just immediately go, oh, Google, what was the name of the first Beatle that left and Ringo took his place? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to, if you start doing that, then you begin to stop kind of digging through the files and finding things. It's important to reach around back in your brain. Yeah, have your memory. They said it's really, it begins to weaken that whole process of exercising that thought. I was with like a bunch of people sitting around. Someone goes, what was it? I forget what it was. And I said, nope. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't Google it. We're going to figure this out. We can figure this out. And it seems, I'll just Google it. Come on, people.
See, the older we get, our lives become like crossword puzzles. We're trying, what's that word I'm thinking of? How do you describe? So that, it's wonderful. Don't use Google. Use your little is left of your brain.
That's my dad sitting on the beach with a pen doing Sudokus. I said, why with a pen, Dad? Because I don't want to be sitting in the corner drooling on myself in 5 years. I'm like, okay, so a pen can stop that. All right, Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. I know that number off the top of my head because they're the best to work with. This is a fun story. Jacob found this for us, that if the city were prettier, it would, more people would, what was the best part of the whole story? That they, more people would talk to one another, or there would be less crime, less garbage, and overall, all you need to do is go to Home Depot and work the brighter side of the paint aisle.
There's science behind this. Darn it all. You know that popular city of Tirana, Albania? Well, I don't know if you remember, but it used to be a dump. And the mayor decided to start painting everything in bright colors after decades of high crime, corruption, and bleak economic forecasts by simply painting things brighter, more colorful. The palette of the city changed the tenor of the city, again, according to this article, enough that people began being happier. There was less trash on the street. There was a drop in crime. All of this. Now, that's not to say that if you just painted your house a bright yellow or orange, no one would ever rob you. But the sense here in this entire article, philosophy of color in cities, is our cities are too drab, and that some of the best things that we can do is not be like this kind of monotone. I think this is really, Pacific Northwest is relatively monotone in color. The color schemes in the houses in the Puget Sound region tend to be versions of gray and light blue, and they're sort of pastel. They really don't call attention to themselves. And the writer of this article says we ought to think of ourselves with a more colorful palette. There's been a prejudice for centuries against that from the Europeans, who seem to think that white and pale colors showed a kind of moral superiority, and it was too animalistic and nativistic to paint everything colorful. Mm-hmm. And this is a call for us to change our thinking and make our cities a brighter place to live. What do you think, John?
And the people reduced to the mean and returned to the mean, then in that case, it is light grays and light blues and things like that around the mm-hmm. Northwest, because nobody wants to offend their neighbor. So nobody, like there used to be a house over near Greenwood or Green Lake, I figure it was. It was purple. Remember that?
Yes.
It was a purple, purple house, and it was, you could see it sometimes from I-5. I forget that's where it was. And everyone's like, oh, there's a purple house. Nobody wants to paint something and then have the neighbors go, yo, what's the deal with that? I mean, even homeowners associations have a palette that you're supposed to
choose.
I know,
they're terrible, though. This is an argument against home association. That's what they say. Home associations bring out the most conservative color palette. And so this is a call to say, no, we should be livelier thinking about that. Like, so Copenhagen is famous. There's this dock area called Nyhaven, and they have the most gorgeous architecture, and every single building is painted in this really bright, you know, it's a purple and a yellow and a orange mm-hmm. and green, and it really stands out. It's like they're They're the most popular district in Copenhagen. There are cities, San Francisco, I think, does that with their, you know, the beautiful ladies, the individual built, the apartments and homes are built in such a striking way. There's a street in Cape Town that's famous for that. I
Bermuda.
Think that we,
you ever been to Bermuda? Bermuda?
No, I haven't been to Bermuda, but I would bet, yes. Yeah.
It looks and like so, Easter eggs, Easter egg colors, yes. But it's all sort of sun bleached and light blues and pinks and greens. And you can't help but walk down the streets and not feel happy. You know, we ran into a mistake a couple of years ago. We painted the our house, and the guys that painted it blue and not the right color. Then we were gone on vacation. When we came back, they had finished painting. We had already paid them, and they painted it blue, but in a high gloss. And it was like, oh, my God. I mean, the neighbors are like, ay, ay, ay. Isn't it gonna dry lighter? Or you drive down the road. Residential homes are not painted with a high gloss. When the sun hits that thing, it's quite impressive. It looks like a Thai restaurant. The color is this bright, bright blue, and it has a high gloss finish on it. And you're not supposed to paint it that way. We didn't want to paint it that way. But by we were so done with these guys, we just said, "Here's your money. Now get out of here." It's horrible looking. It is horrible.
Okay, but the thing is that we're not. Yeah, the gloss might be pick up the sheen. It might be a blinding. Yes. But the idea of coloring something bright, I love it when I see a house that stands out. And I think if we were a little more open to that, we'd be. You know, it'd be more fun place to live. Funny, after my dad died, my mom, realized we need to, paint the house. And so she painted the house. She hired somebody to paint it. And it had always been a yellow house. And so she picked out this yellow. Yeah, okay, we'll do this yellow. And then we went off to Whidbey for 2 weeks, to our cabin. And then we came back and it was so bright. It looks like you're looking at the sun. The yellow is so bright. And we looked at the name of the yellow she painted. Yeah. Was called Confident Yellow, and my brother, who's an artist, said, "I think it should be dubbed Overconfident Yellow because it is boom, it just breaks." But boy, does it stand out on a blue sky day!
Did she change it?
No. Well, the nice thing is, because over the years, it vaguely fades. It fades slowly, so it's still pretty striking. But I love that kind of I'd love to live in a block where everything is bright and jarring, but. Anyway, it's just an article, an op-ed calling for that, and I say hear, hear.
I do, too. But I wonder how many people, if you have 10 homes on the block, eventually does it take 3 to break through and then, hold, and then others go with them? I think people would be courageous, but I think their biggest concern is they don't have to look at the house as much as their neighbors have to
look
at
the house. That's true. Right? That's true. You're looking out, not at.
Always out. All right. Bright sunshine that she is. Tracy Taylor, how are we doing on this Tuesday?
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Here we go. Wow. Here we go, everybody. This is Tom and Curly Show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Certainly appreciate it. I don't know why this story is getting so much attention. A man is driving over to Costco in Issaquah, he sees something fluttering on the ground. It's papers. He picks it. Oh, it's a wallet. He then pulls over to the side. He counts it. And he gets about $10,000, $10,003 there. The guy's ID is in the wallet. His name is Michael King. He calls a friend of his and says, "What should I do?" And the guy says, "Oh, I know Michael King. Keep it." Well, the man then goes ahead, tracks down Michael King. And the guy says, "Fine, Les, I'll meet you. I had it on the back bumper of my pickup. I don't know why I did that." They meet. And the man who'd lost the money hands the man who had found the money something. I guess this is the reason that it's getting so much attention, Tom. What did they exchange there on the side of the road?
Not just a jar of applesauce, but a jar of homemade applesauce. Oh. Applesauce that's made with the care and comfort you pour into making applesauce in your own kitchen.
Out of apples? Out of apples, Tom?
Apples, yes. And probably a little spice, maybe some cinnamon. The reason it's a story, Nicole Broder in the Seattle Times did a really nice job of writing this up, and she managed to get a picture of the two. I'm surprised that Michael King agreed to do this story, because the reason the story is a story is because I think The general consensus seems to be that that wasn't a proper reward for somebody returning $10,003 to you. I found the story charming. So before anybody else gets to jump in, I just want to say that people are in different kinds of financial circumstances. You don't know. And apparently Michael King said that he really, you know, can't afford that money he really needed. It was for some, he'd taken the money out of the bank to pay for some particular project that he didn't want to explain, and nor should he. And he says he just, you know, that he doesn't really have that kind of money. So he gave him what he had was applesauce. If I was the guy who found the $10,000 and was given a thing of applesauce, and that was what the guy said, I would take that as a heartfelt reward. And in fact, yes. Michael King says, and you know, I'm going to be cooking up some salmon or something for dinner. Maybe I'll take him some fresh cooked salmon or something. To me, there's something so winning. It's almost more than if you don't need money, you might give him $100 for finding the thousand or maybe even more. But the fact that this is a real personal touch of Michael King, I'm all for him, and I don't think he should be embarrassed in public or private. How about you?
By the way, stop offering other things like salmon. I'll cut your grass. It's done. The reward for the man that gave the money back is the fact that he gave the money back. The reward is that he did the right thing. The applesauce is a fine gesture, and that's why it's in the news. But the guy handed the money back. Your reward is that's what's the right thing to do. And
exactly.
You did it, and move on. You know, you should expect nothing. The reason those stories about people getting money is because all of a sudden they get something. The guy returns the $50,000. The guy gives him $10,000. Yeah. Those stories make the news. I would say most of the time somebody finds something and gives it back to that person because they would want the exact same thing to happen to them, and they don't need to give anything. And, the applesauce worth $10,000? That's a stupid question.
Yeah,
there's some value on it. The value is that guy's like, I had the money, I found it, and he thought about it for a moment. I'm sure he thought about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, nope, and there's the reward.
Yeah, so look at that. Tom and Curly agree completely on the story. Good job.
Right. Pork chops and apple shawash. Tracy Taylor, you know what that's from?
Brady
Bunch. Pork chops and apple shawash. Yes! For dinner, you know, because Peter wanted to change his voice so that he could be more popular. So he was trying to start talking like that. Yeah, see, Alice, what's for dinner tonight? Pork chops and applesauce. Didn't work.
Not so much, huh?